Romans chapter number 2. You know, there's a lot of people in our world today that have an appearance of religion. There's a lot of people that can talk a big talk when it comes to, oh, well, I'm a good person. I'm very religious. I have a lot of, a good moral compass. But the thing is, where has religion gotten man except nowhere fast? You know, religion is not what saves us. A religion is not what frees our soul from the penalty and the bounds of sin. It's not religion that does that for us. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter, honestly, it doesn't matter how much money we give to the church. It doesn't matter how many times we go to church, although we know those things are important. It doesn't matter so much how, all these different religious deeds that we can do. In fact, Jesus spoke of those who religious on the outward appearance and held a great semblance of religion. He said that they're dead inside. And this really convicted me. How many times do I, as a Christian, just go through the motions? How many times do I come to church on Sunday morning, I open up my Bible, and I think that I'm all right? I'm good with God because I did my deed. I did my bit. I was in church. Or I read my Bible this morning, so I'm okay. But you know what? There's more to a relationship with God than that. There's more to growing in Christ than just going through religious rituals. And we're going to see that in the book of Romans chapter number 2 this morning. We're going to see what Paul had to say about religious rituals and going through the motion. Verse number 17 of Romans chapter 2, if you would direct your attention there, it says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, of light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege?" Look at what it says. "Thou that makest the boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Paul, we know, is talking out of the book of Romans. We've seen that he was talking to the Christians that were at Rome. But amongst those Christians that were at Rome were people of the Jewish faith, people who had been born and raised in Jewish religion and doctrine, and who had been saved and became Christians after putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But there were people who had that Jewish ancestry and heritage that were going through all these religious rituals, saying that you have to do all these other things in order to be righteous in God's eyes versus just simply following the Lord. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of religions out there that say you have to do all these things in order to earn favor with our deity. You have to perform all these religious rites and rituals and go through all this religion in order to gain favor in God's eyes. Can I tell you? That's not what Scripture teaches. I've heard stories, and I've seen, and being a teacher of history, you look at examples of what people will go through in order to please their gods. Throughout history, you see human sacrifice utilized as a way to please the deities. Religions that would tell parents to sacrifice their children in order to please their gods. You'll see people that will subject themselves to physical torment. People that will crawl on their knees to somehow please their God. There was even a man who crucified, had himself crucified, nails stuck through his hands and his feet, so that way he could become closer to God. All these religious acts. There are people that will give, you know, tons and tons of money and financial resources to a church to make themselves feel all right. There are people that will, you know, that will sing the loudest at church and that will put on a smile and say amen and hallelujah and praise the Lord. But is that a real indicator of a growing relationship with God? And we've already established that is the most important thing. It's not about the deeds. It's not about the works. It's not about what I can do on the outside to make myself look good before others. It's, is my heart right with God? Paul is talking to these Jews and he says, you know the law. You know what it's like to be religious. You've come from a religious background. And you don't have to study the Jewish faith too long before you realize that from an early age, these children, these Jewish children, were skilled in the law. They had to memorize the first five books of the Bible, of the Pentateuch, the Torah, before they were 13 years old. I listen to my children reciting things that they have memorized in school. And they're always like, Daddy, can I tell you my Bible verse? Daddy, can I tell you what I learned in history or what I learned in science? And of course, I don't care about science. I just care about history. No, I care about all subjects. I do. But it's awesome to see their desire to learn and to memorize things. And I look at my son Joshua, and he is a very, very wise, smart young boy. But I couldn't imagine him having to memorize the first five books of the Bible in the next 4 years before he reaches the age of 13. I couldn't imagine the amount of preparation and the amount of mental discipline that would go into doing that. But if anybody knew the law, if anybody knew religion, it was the Jewish person. It says, you rested in the law. You rested in your religion. That's where your boast of God was. You knew all about the worship of the Lord. The Jews knew the sacrifices that they would make to God as God had instructed them to do. They knew that the feasts and the ceremonies and all the things that were required by the Lord in their worship and service to Him. He says, you knew God's will. You knew what you were supposed to do. You've been instructed out of the law, verse number 18. And he says, you've even taught others. You've appeared spiritual towards others as a person who is a guide to the blind. You know, we think of people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says that they walk around in spiritual darkness. They're stumbling about every which way because they can't see the truth. And Paul is saying, you know what the Scripture says. You know what the law says. You are a guide to the blind. If anybody could tell people about God, it's you, because you know all about Jehovah God. He says, you're an instructor of the foolish. In fact, the Jews called anybody that wasn't skilled in the law and knowledgeable of their faith a fool. That word fool is where we get our English word stupid. You know, I tell my kids not to use that word. Whenever they're referring to their siblings, if we're referring to any other football teams besides the Packers, they're allowed to use that word. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, I tell my kids, you know, that's not a nice thing to say. And no doubt when you were growing up, your parents probably told you the same thing. You know, stupid is not a nice word to say. It's not nice to call somebody else stupid. Well, it's not nice to call anybody names in the first place. But what the Jews refer to other people that weren't skilled in the law as they were, they referred to them as stupid, as foolish, because you are not on the same religious spiritual plane as we are. We know the law. We know what the law says. And Paul says to them, how can you know the law? How can you make your boast that you are closer to God because you know the law, yet you commit the same sins that the law says not to commit? He says, you're stealing. He says, you tell other people not to steal, and yet you do it yourself. He says, you tell people not to commit adultery, but yet you are committing adultery yourself. He says, you make your boast of the law, But by breaking the law, you dishonor God. He says, look at this. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. You know, it makes me sad to think that God's name would be dragged through the mud by those of us who believe ourselves to be religious. Through our actions, we can actually bring dishonor to the name of God. Christian, you ought to be careful what you say. Christian, you ought to be careful how you act. Christian, you ought to be careful how you respond on social media. Christian, you ought to be careful the life that other people see you live day by day. And I'm not saying that we live our life to please others. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that that's our end goal. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to live our life so that we look good in front of others. But how we live our life and how our relationship with God is going on the inside will make its way out of us. It will affect how we live our day-to-day lives. And I wouldn't want to be guilty, and I'm sure you wouldn't want to be guilty of this either, of bringing dishonor to the name of God. Now, what the Jews were doing is they were following this, their religious beliefs, and one of their main tenets of their religious beliefs was circumcision. And I'm not going to get too much into that. I'm sure those of you that are listening know what is entailed in that, and you know what happens with circumcision. But suffice it to say, it was a sign of the covenant that God had made with the Jewish people. He had established that with Abraham all the way back in the Old Testament, circumcision as a sign of the covenant that God had made with the Jewish people. But what the Jews were saying that were making, these Jewish Christians were saying, is that you have to be circumcised in order to have salvation. You have to be circumcised in order to be closer to God. You know what they were saying is you have to follow the law along with what it means to be a Christian. Salvation plus good deeds. And Paul is saying, no, that's not right. That blasphemes, that dishonors the Lord. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone, he would say in the book of Ephesians. He says, you tell everybody to keep the law, but yet you don't follow it yourself. How foolish are we to say that we follow God and we love God, but yet we do things that are wrong. Christian, there are people watching us. We need to be an example to those that are looking to us. It says, following the law, circumcision, verse number 25, verily profiteth if thou keep the law. It says, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? What Paul is saying, just to kind of sum it up here, when he's talking about circumcision verily profiteth, he says, hey, if you keep all the law, then your circumcision is a good thing. If you were to be 100% righteous and never sin, then your circumcision, hey, that's a good thing for you, Jewish Christian, to be able to follow the law in every area. But he said, if you follow the law in every area, or if you don't follow the law, even in just one area, then he says, all of your other religious rituals mean nothing. You know, you can try to be a good person, and even Jesus said it, and throughout the New Testament we see it, if you transgress even in one area of the law, the Bible says that we are guilty of all. One sin in one area of the law, in all of our religious deeds and rituals and practices, they all mean nothing. Paul says a person who gets circumcised but they don't follow the rest of the law, they've made their circumcision uncircumcision. He said, it's almost as if they didn't follow the law at all, even if they just offended in one area. It just goes to show how important religious deeds and rituals are when it comes to, in comparison to, a relationship with Jesus Christ. What's more important? The relationship with Christ. He says that's where righteousness is found. He says, for he is not a Jew, verse number 28, which is one outwardly. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's not about outward religion. That's not what matters. He's saying, neither is that circumcision which is outward on the flesh. It's not about the religiousness that we hold outside of our lives. It's not about the good things that we do. That is not what saves us. Look at what verse number 29 says. But he is a Jew which is inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. You know what Paul is saying? It's the inside that counts. It's what's going on in here that matters. I've talked about this before, but when God sent Samuel to anoint the king of Israel, Samuel looked at the older brothers of David and said, oh, surely this must be the man. He's tall. He looks like a king. And God says, no, I've refused him. Samuel went through all of David's older brothers, and God says, no, Samuel, that's not who I have chosen. And then God says something to Samuel that I think is absolutely awesome and amazing when it comes to our focus on our relationship with Christ and what it should be. Samuel, or God told Samuel, the Lord looketh not as man looketh. The Lord seeth, doesn't see the way that men see, Samuel. He says, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Don't we judge people's religiousness and Christianity by how we see them on Sunday? I can look very pastoral on Sunday, and then I could be very different in my home. I can act one way when I'm at church or when I'm in front of other Christians, but when I'm out there, and when you're out there in the world, when you're acting and when you're around people that don't know Jesus as their Savior, how do you really act? That's what Paul's focus is on. He says, you know what, Jews, and those of you who consider yourself to be religious, all you focus on is what's out here. But what he's saying is you need to focus on what's in here. Because let me tell you, church, if God can change this, if God can change your heart, if God can fix what's going on inside of you, everything else will start to match up with what's in here. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's inside here is going to make its way out. You know, you can pretty it up on, you know, pretty up yourself on the outside, and you can do religious deeds so that way people look at you and say, oh, what a great Christian you are. But God is more concerned with fixing us in here, taking the broken pieces of our life and making them right, helping us to have a growing and fruitful and productive relationship with God. And I'm telling you, when our heart is right with God, everything else in our life on the outside will be right too. We as Christians, I think we have deceived ourselves into changing other people. Hey, you got to change this in your life. You got to change this in your life. You got to make sure everything on the outward in your life is right. But God is focused, and we as his followers need to be focused on, hey, you know, you might look a little rough around the edges, but you know what? Before I change that, and before I help you to change that, God needs to change your heart first. That's what's important. God doesn't save our clothes. God doesn't save our religious deeds. God saves us. God saves our heart. God saves our soul. That's what we need to be focused on. Paul even continues that thought in verse number 1 of chapter 3. He said, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? He says, where is the life in your religion? You know what he's saying? It's not there. Your religion is dead if there's no relationship in the heart. All the deeds, all the following of the law means nothing if you don't have Christ in your heart. He says, much every way chiefly, because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. He says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You know, there were people in the church that deceived themselves into thinking that they could live how they wanted to, get this, because then God's power would show up greater in their life when God had to forgive them of even worse sins. Like, wait a second, Pastor, that's a little confusing. people were sinning so much because they believed that if they called unto God, he would forgive them, that his grace was stronger than their sin. But they were using the fact that they knew God would forgive them as justification to live their life however they wanted to. They said, I know God's going to forgive me, so I'm just going to sin and live my life the way that I wanted to. How horrible that is. I had a friend growing up, was in church every Sunday, every Wednesday, did what he was supposed to do. He became an adult, started getting out of church. It started off, he would miss a couple of Sundays, a couple Wednesdays, and then it turned into, we only saw him once in a blue moon. And I asked him about it. I said, hey man, you know, why are you not in church? You know, why are you doing all these things that you know aren't right? And he says, well, I'm saved. God's already forgiven me of my sins, so I'm going to go to heaven when I die anyways. How horrible is it to take advantage of God? Just because we know God is going to forgive us doesn't mean that we should sin so much, because in the end, he'll forgive us. Says, God forbid, verse number 4, he says, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. He says, as it is written, that thou might be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God righteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. Is God unrighteous when he brings judgment upon us? When we fool ourselves into thinking that we can live our life the way that we want? Is God a mean God and a vengeful God whenever he enacts justice upon us because of our sin? No, Paul says, God forbid. God judges. And God is, if he is a righteous judge, he's going to judge according to the law. And if we break the law, we should expect punishment. It says, God forbid, then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. You know, this is the idea of pragmatism. That everything is okay as long as it leads to something good. Well, I can sin as much as I want because in the end, God's going to forgive me anyways. We can break the law and we can do wrong things as long as it leads to something good. You know what Paul would say to that? God forbid. It's never right to do wrong to make something right happen. Let me say that again. It's never right to do wrong to make something right happen. You know, we like to try to scheme and make things happen the way that we want because, oh, well, you know what? I might fudge the numbers at work so I can get a promotion because in the end, it's good for me to get a promotion. Oh, because then I can give more to the church. But yet, if you're doing something unethical, immoral, wrong, sinful, you really think God's going to bless that? Can I tell you, I'd rather live the life that I live, a meaningful life, not a luxurious life, but a decent life, knowing that I've come to everything that I have because God has blessed me with it. I'd rather live right and live poor than to live wealthy and live in sin. You know why? Because it's not about this world, it's not about its riches, it's not about the pleasures that we that life can afford, it's not about appearing religious, it's not about religious deeds. I'm telling you, nothing in this world matters more than what is on the inside. So I would ask you this question, and I ask myself this question as well. I'm not excluding myself from this. Is my heart right with God? You should ask yourself that this morning. Is my life, is what's going on in the inside pleasing to God? Oh yeah, sure, I can please God on the outside. I can make myself appear religious and do all these good deeds and say the right things. But you know what? More important than how I appear on the outside is the inside. Is my heart where it should be with the Lord? Is my relationship with God where it needs to be? And if you can't answer that question with a yes this morning, what's stopping you from getting things right with God? Well, Pastor, I'm worried of what people might think about me. What's more important? What people see on the outside or what God sees on the inside? What's more important? Following the religious rituals or developing a relationship with Christ? What's more important? Living life the way that you want to and experiencing the judgment of God in your life? Or following God and living a life of blessing? Now, that's not to say that when we do what's right that everybody else is going to like that. We might face some hardships and difficulties because we still choose to do what's right in a world that's full of wrong and evil. But I'm telling you, it's better to serve the Lord than it is to follow man. It's better to serve God than it is our flesh. It's better to prioritize our relationship with God versus making ourselves appear religious on the outside. God help us to keep our focus where it needs to be. Not following the deeds of the law. Not just marking off check boxes and, well, I didn't kill anybody today. That's a check in the good box. Man, I didn't steal anything today. Man, I'm really righteous. You know, I didn't commit adultery. Another check mark. Man, I'm awesome in the eyes of God. No. You know what really matters? Am I trusting God today more than I did yesterday? Did I take time to spend time in God's Word today? Did I respond correctly in love to that person that was being rude and obnoxious and mean to me? When people look at me, do they see the Lord? Or do they see me and my good deeds? Can I tell you? More important than what they see in Michael Neff, on the outside, is do they see Christ through me? When people look at you, do they see you or do they see the Lord? Do they see His love shining through you? Can I tell you, if your heart is not right with God, Christian, this morning, you might be saved. You might have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you died this morning, that you would go to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But is how we live our lives every day right with God? Does God control our heart? Does God control our time? Does God control our finances? Does God control our talents? Does God control every area of our life? Or are we holding something back from serving Him completely? And if you're here this morning or watching this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know your heart's not right with God, you're not 100% sure if you died this morning that you would go to heaven if you died, can I tell you, God wants to save you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to clean you on the inside. He doesn't want to just clean up you on the outside. He wants to change your life on the inside. You know what I'm praying for? I'm praying that God would take everything that's happened in our country, COVID and the craziness of the election and the uncertainty in our world. And I pray that God would help us as Christians to be emboldened, to be empowered, to be more faithful to God, to be challenged to serve God even more. You know why? Because there are people that are looking for answers. There are people that are looking for truth, and we have it here. We got to take what God has done in our lives and share it with somebody else. Let's be more concerned with making sure the inside is right and let God change us from the inside out. Don't just serve God out of religious obligation, and don't fool yourself into thinking that the more good I do for God, the more blessings and the more favor I'm going to get. No, God's not concerned with this as much as He's concerned with this. So let's make sure if God is focused more on the inside than He is on the outside, then we as Christians need to focus more on our relationship with God than all the religious deeds that we could do. Is our heart right with God this morning?